CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Vena. This week's episode is packed with insights from the Future of Finance Leadership keynote presented at Vena's Accelerate Finance 2024 conference. This presentation delves into the ever-evolving role of the CFO and what strategic finance leaders can do to unlock the potential of their people and their data. So without further ado, here is the Future of Finance Leadership. So I'm going to be doing this presentation along with Thomas, who I'll be bringing up towards the end. We're going to tag team on this topic. Now, just wanted to start. Thank you so much, Hunter. What a great, inspiring way to start this. And I'm so excited to be here. This is my first in-person Vena Accelerate. Great to be here in Nashville with all of you. My peeps are in the room. So this is terrific. All these finance folks, Hunter talked about our community and what a great community this is. So thank you for letting me be here today. I did want to start by saying when they first asked me to get up on stage in front of a room full of people, I thought, don't they know that I'm an accountant? And we tend to be a little bit introverted by nature. Public speaking is not one of the soft skills that we most often lean into. And I've been sitting behind a screen for about 4 years. So it's not like I'm quite practiced at doing this. But here I am, leaning into the discomfort of getting outside there, pushing myself out of that comfort zone. And I'm here to speak today to you about the future of finance leadership. So I'm speaking about the future of finance leadership. And when I think about the future, I think, you know, this isn't a really exciting time to be in the seats that we're all in, but it is going to come with some discomfort. And we are going to have to lean into that and push ourselves to embrace it to help our businesses because they're counting on us to do so. So when I look at, I want to start by setting the stage with what we are contending with today. There's a lot going on. Things might have settled a little bit, but there's still a lot going on. I'm sure all of you, like me, are regularly having meetings with the rest of your executive teams talking about growth or profit. We're coming off a time where it was seemingly growth at all costs was the flavor of the day, and we were all in with both feet leaning in on growth. And all of a sudden, a lot of things changed a couple of years ago, and efficiency is cool again. And I think for many of us, that's refreshing because we all know that eventually efficiency and focusing on productivity has to come back and be a focus area. But at the same time, we're not leaning away from growth. We all know it's important for us to continue to grow our organizations and make sure that we're market leaders, but we have to find a way to do that in a way more balanced approach. And so along with that, there's a lot of other factors that are at play. We're trying to balance this growth and profitability, which means leaning into efficiency. And I almost hesitate to say that word because I think that for sure my team at Vena is probably sick of me talking about efficiency. But the reality is, it is our job in finance to lean into this and to turn this into a reality for our businesses, to help them figure out how we're going to do this, how we can continue to grow, but do it with a few less resources or reallocating the way that our resources are being spent. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the other thing that we're all contending with today, which is artificial intelligence. It feels in some ways like we're back where we were a number of years ago when this thing called the cloud was coming out and we all had on-prem and we were like, I don't know about this on cloud, this in the cloud. I think, you know, I know what's going on with my on-prem. I can control it. There's absolutely a bit of nervousness and hesitation. We all feel it. We're all in that together. But we all know that the power of what this can do for our businesses is going to help propel us forward. And so we're all trying to figure out how to lean in. You can see 90% of CFOs are projecting higher AI budgets. Everyone's leaning in, but at the same time, 94% of CFOs don't quite yet know how to deploy this for finance and accounting, even though we're already deploying it in other parts of our business. What we do know is we have to figure out how to strengthen our trust in AI because it is going to be that key driver. So we're contending with all of these different things, juggling a lot. I want to talk about what's caused some of this. And I want to talk about that market volatility. There's so much change going on around us. And it's some of this volatility that has created the necessity of us leaning into efficiency. You think about it, a couple of years, cash was cheap. Interest rates were low. You could find capital quite easily. And we're in very different waters now. As we're making decisions, growth isn't always quite so certain. You're still planning to grow. You think you know where it's going to go, but you aren't quite sure. But what we are certain about is how much we're going to spend. That is 100% in our control. And so in times like this, when things are uncertain, you have to lean into the things that you know. And that's one of the reasons why this efficiency and productivity has to come to the forefront. Additionally, there's other things that we're facing. We're facing pressures when it comes to talent. Yes, the war for talent that was raging hot a few years ago has subsided, but there is no question that we are all still worried about and thinking about how are we going to attract and retain the best and the brightest and make them want to come and work with us and help us to lead the way and deliver on the transformation that Hunter was talking about. We need teams of really smart people around us to do that. We have way more complexity in the business landscape around us. Way higher volumes of data to work with. We're trying to now sift through. Data's so great, but there's so much of it that we sometimes feel like we're drowning in so much of it. We have the change management that comes when you're trying to start to lean more into efficiency. And so that is something we have to lean into because you can't take it for granted that change management is just going to happen. You have to be purposeful and make sure you help to show the way. And in all of this, focus becomes critical. It is so easy to feel overwhelmed with so many things to do and you want to do it all. But the reality is we have to lean into focus. And it is going to be as much about what we decide to do with our businesses as it is what we don't decide to do. That's going to be just as important. So this is a lot of pressure, and it's up to us to rise to the occasion. Companies need to depend on their finance teams to help them to make good, informed decisions with all of this turbulence around us. And that means that we need our finance teams to evolve. So how exactly is the scope of the finance team evolving? There's a lot of ways. You know, when you think about finance as needing to be a strategic business partner to so many parts of the organization to help lead through times like this, we are uniquely positioned. We have a bird's eye view to seeing all kinds of things across the business that others don't get to see, and we often can take that for granted. But with that is a responsibility to help shine a light on what we're seeing, to help connect the dots across the organization. Think about our relationship with our HR teams. This, to me, has become one of the most critical business partnerships that we have. As we think about how to retool our workforces and redistribute work and what the skills are that we're going to need for today and tomorrow, our org designs and how we might have to shift things to match what our businesses need, HR are the experts of these things, and so we need to work with them closely to lean into that expertise and complement it to help come together to make good, insightful decisions for the business. Similarly with IT and technology, you know, you used to have a time where IT could sort of sit on the side. You could be a little independent in finance doing your own thing, but that we all know that's not going to work. We need enterprise IT strategies. We need to understand our processes from start to finish, where our data is, and having a transformation plan of how we're going to move the business forward and where are we leaning into the things that are going to move the needle the most. That requires tight partnership with our IT teams. In all of this, we have responsibility to remain customer-centric. Our customer-facing teams, like customer support, implementation, they get firsthand information from our customers about what they need from us, what's working, what's not, where do we need to lean in. And we need to stay tight with that to help make sure that we're enabling the right decisions for the sake of our customers. We've also got ESG, a lot of talk about ESG. How are our businesses focused on what we're doing for the environment on the social side? How are we impacting our key stakeholders, our communities, our customers, our employees? And at the same time, we have governance responsibilities as well. We know that risks are only getting more plentiful. They're not reducing. And as stewards in our business, we have a responsibility to help lean in with the business to protect against those risks. We have sales and revenue teams, another critical partnership. Finance needs to lean into our go-to-market plans, need to look at the data together to inform the right decisions, the allocations of investments, how we're going to incent our teams to align our incentives with what the business needs to deliver, pricing decisions, deal desk support that we provide. We have to think about how we're showing up in all of these conversations to help provide support for that part of the business. Operations, critically important as well. Do we have the right KPIs, the right reports, the right information at the right place within the business? Finance is becoming way less siloed and more integrated within the entire business. And we have that responsibility to share what we're seeing across all those different parts for the benefit of the greater good. Now, this requires some pretty critical traits that haven't always been core to finance. The American Institute of CPAs had recently put out 4 traits for the future of finance leader. And I think they've hit the nail on the head here. The first is being a connected influencer. What does that mean? How do we enable conversations the right way forward with the people who are the experts in our business within their respective fields? How are we showing up to foster that collaboration? Listening, asking the right questions, and having the right skill sets to help with that influence. The next one is being an authentic disruptor. And disruption and accounting don't always feel like they go hand in hand, but that's something we have to lean into. We have to challenge our businesses to reinvent themselves and to question the status quo. We don't want to just be doing things the way we've always done them. That requires a growth mindset and an innovation mindset. We don't always think of ourselves as creative, and we don't want to be too creative in certain parts of our business, but in terms of disruption, we absolutely need to be thinking in an innovative way. And we have to do this all in an authentic way because we need to build trust with the business. We need to be seen as a friend in finance of the other parts of the business so that we can come together, which means creating safe spaces to make mistakes, which is also not inherently easy for us to do in finance, but we need to make it safe for our teams to take some risks and for the business to take risks. And it's okay because you're going to fail sometimes and you're going to learn. And we actually have to encourage that to happen. The third is to be an inquisitive storyteller. How do we harness the data that we see to tell a story in a way that helps others help lean into making business decisions? We could have all the data in the world, but if we don't have a way to explain it to others, it's not going to drive benefit in our businesses. We have to also insist that business decisions be informed by insights. Try to move away from just emotional, but use those insights to drive them. Think about the power of storytelling and leveraging technology. We are going to have businesses that are going to be seeing things quicker, reacting quicker, and moving way faster. And the fourth trait is being a rational value creator. It's our job to create value in our businesses. How we do that is by knitting together the data, the technology, and the processes that we see to come together to help create that value. This is about extending beyond traditional finance KPIs to non-traditional metrics that we see in the business and leaning into that. It's about embracing uncertainty and seeing change as a constant. And it might mean that we have to respond to some unexpected things or go through some prolonged periods that are a little bit uncomfortable, like we've seen the last couple of years with COVID and then economic uncertainty. So let's step back then and think about, we know what we need to do and how things are evolving and why because of the landscape. How is that factoring into what we see as CFO top priorities for the year ahead? Well, you can see here, there's five things that are top of mind. Evaluating or improving the finance function strategy and design. When you're on an airplane, they say, when that oxygen mask comes down, you put it on your face first because you can't help anybody else if you're not healthy yourself. And the same is true of our finance teams. If we don't have high-functioning finance teams, we are not going to be able to have as much impact on the rest of the business and help move forward at the way we need to. That means looking at our org design, looking at our skill sets, looking at our systems and automations, and trying to find ways to free up that time so that our teams can lean into all the other things that we need to be doing that are going to drive value for our business. And as our finance teams evolve, we need to think about, do we have those connected influencers, those authentic disruptors, those inquisitive storytellers, and those rational value creators on our team? We need to lead the transformation efforts, not just be a passenger, but actually be an active role in them, improving our metrics, our insights, our storytelling. You can tell that there's a lot we need to do, and a lot of the things that CFOs are focused on this year are going to help us free up that capacity so that we can shift the way our teams spend their time into these evolving roles that we need to step into. That way, we're going to be able to focus not just on short-term wins, but on long-term transformation for our people, our processes, and our systems. So here, I just wanted to step in, driving down a level deeper. What are finance leaders' top tech investments plan for 2024? You can see, interestingly enough, the top two are data visualization and BI, and workflow automation and AI. Why is that? Well, both of these things are going to be critical to helping move the business faster, get us focused, data-driven decisions, eliminating tactical tasks, and focusing on telling the story. And so it's no wonder the things we're doing are helping us to set the table for us to be able to be those finance leaders of the future. So how then do we help lead our finance teams through this transformation? Because it's not just going to happen. And we as CFOs need to, and finance leaders, we need to step into this leadership role. We can't just be a passenger here. So what does it mean? Well, first, we need to be cross-functional by design, integrated with the rest of the organization. You need to set the culture around this. Is the business ready for it? Are they ready to lean in? Do they understand why this is necessary? Have you aligned your finance team with their key stakeholders in other parts of the business? Maybe it's an HR business partner that they work collectively with. Maybe it's other folks in operations, go-to-market teams across the business. Sometimes this might even mean having dotted lines of reporting. You know it's working well when they are seen as so integral and integrated into the other parts of the business. The next way we can help lead our team is by leveraging technology. This is how we're going to free up bandwidth for our teams, help them make those better decisions. And so we need to educate our teams on why this matters. We need to support them when they're thinking of new things and trying new tools. And we need to share amongst the teams what they're learning as we do this, celebrating those wins and even the failures along the way. And we need to strengthen trust around AI productivity and do it in a way that is responsible and safe for our businesses. And third, we need to build a culture of continuous improvement. This isn't going to happen overnight. We're going to need to keep on iterating and trying new things. And that means having that continuous improvement mindset amongst the team. That is how we approach change management, how we look at project management and our teams leading projects. And it comes down to, again, those skill sets, being disruptors, being able to lead through these different projects. So when I step back and I think in summary, you know, what are three things that are going to be key to the future of finance? I think leaning into strategy is one. We need to be able to impact and have that time to be leaning in there. Second, we need to set the pace. Like it or not, the rest of the business is taking their cues from us. And so the pace that we're setting is going to establish how quickly the rest of the organization is running along with you. And third, we have to keep embracing productivity and efficiency. This isn't going away anytime soon. And by doing this, we're going to be able to move our teams up the value chain and move our businesses forward. So back when you all decided to get into finance once upon a time, did you ever imagine that it was going to be this hard or this much fun? Your parents probably said, "I know, be an accountant. You can sit in a back office and you can count beans all day. It's going to be really easy." Well, finance is not a back office function anymore. Finance needs to come to the forefront, and it's up to all of us to decide, are we going to lean into this and are we going to help? Our businesses are absolutely depending on us to do this. And what that's going to mean is we all are going to be a little bit uncomfortable, but we're going to have to embrace that discomfort and lean into it. With that, I'm going to hand it over to Thomas Krolak, Vena's Director of FP&A, and he's going to talk about how FP&A is uniquely positioned to be the catalyst for change, and that's going to help us to initiate this transformation. Thomas?
Good job. All right. Hi, everyone. I'm excited to be here. It's my first time in Nashville. What an incredibly lively city. The music, the barbecue, the culture, the people. Big names like Dolly Parton, Taylor Swift, and now this guy from Toronto, Ontario. I'm going to talk to you about how FP&A is poised to be the catalyst for change. Melissa just talked to us about the challenging environment we find ourselves in, balancing short-term wins with those long-term transformations. As FP&A teams, we're more integrated with the business than ever before, and that puts us in a unique position to drive this change. My goal for today is to provide a little insight on what to focus on today in order to continue this evolution of change well into the future. I'll take a few seconds to recap the fundamentals, and then I'm going to talk about three things: getting a seat at the table, driving a culture for change, and how to prepare for the future. I'm going to keep things simple. Our overall objective is to create value for our organization. As FP&A people, it's not always easy to quantify what that value is. You know, as an example, if you're working in sales, it's pretty easy to say, "Hey, I generated this many sales, and that's my value to the organization." But we are here to support the organization. You know, examples like, you know, we created that sweet budgeting process, identifying risks and finding solutions, efficiencies, driving efficiencies and cost optimization, aligning teams on long-term objectives. Whew. Those are some sexy ways to drive value. I'm going to talk about my experiences through the lens of people, process, and technology. This is the way that we can impact businesses through the fundamentals. Process helps us to deliver proactively and systematically. We can improve it, streamline it. Technology, it's our infrastructure and data. It's our tools that help us with telling the story. Process and technology need to augment how the people think. We need to make smart, informed decisions, and all three of these need to work together to make this really effective. In my opinion, the people piece is the most crucial. There's a very human element to all the work that we do. And it's very easy to become an ostrich in the sand, but it's more like actually we're in the spreadsheets and in the data. And yeah, I know we all build pretty sweet spreadsheets. We're all freaks in the spreadsheets. I don't know about you, but every single forecast and budget that I've ever put together has been perfect. It's zero variance to budget. Just kidding, of course. Things are always changing, daily, monthly, yearly. Us humans need to adjust to that. We need to execute based on what the data is telling us. It can be challenging to support people through that. Beyond the numbers, there are real human implications, targets to deliver, risks to mitigate, and teams to lead. We are more involved than ever in all cross-functional areas. In order to do this, we need to develop the specialization and knowledge on your FP&A team. Each function has different objectives, goals, mandates. We need to learn from the business, talk the same language, and be able to provide recommendations. The best advice I ever got about starting was start by giving them a win. Becoming a business partner takes a lot of listening and learning. We really need to flex and build those soft skill muscles. And this doesn't need to be big. The other day, I helped someone build a simple Excel model. And this is going to sound fake because I can't believe this. This person actually said this. I wish I didn't spend hours on this prior to coming to you. That's Excel magic. Well, this builds trust with them. They realize that there is something in it for them, that they should be partners with you. Start small, start anywhere, just do it, like Nike tells us. Keep the momentum going. You got your foot in the door? Now run with it. Don't let that door shut. Now, become a master collaborator. Keep coming back and asking questions and learning. Keep building on your work and evolving your knowledge. The goal is to become a trusted business advisor, not a bean counter or a naysayer. We gotta get away from that stigma. Let's challenge ourselves to say yes. Help the business uncover opportunities, partner with them to achieve their goals and find alternatives to solve their problems. Once you've built this momentum, strive for the business to own your work. In my early days in FP&A, I would hear this. Well, finance is just going to tell me how much money I can spend, so why do I need to care about this? We're in the data all the time. We have an incredible skill set of distilling complex information in easy-to-understand ways. Share it. We have an obligation to them to tell the story and help them understand why they should care about this. As you learn about operational objectives and understand what drives the business, build operational models that drive financial results rather than the other way around. Then you'll really have their attention. You'll never run out of things to talk about with them. This approach really does work, okay? Give them a win, keep the momentum going, and get them to own it. We had a challenge with a business unit at one point, and that's exactly what we did. We started by helping them understand a driver of the business, and that built trust up with them. We continued to show up, ask questions, evolved our knowledge, continued to improve those models, and now that business unit will no longer have a meeting where a critical business decision needs to be made without having FP&A at the table. FP&A teams are in a really unique position, as Melissa mentioned. We have this incredible bird's eye view of what's going on in the organization. And when we can effectively share that bird's eye view with everyone, we unlock this powerful ability for collaboration and creating solutions. The FP&A team needs to make sure that we're all moving in the same direction. From that 30,000 foot view, we can navigate risks, identify when we're veering off course, and making sure that teams can see around the corner. When we look into the future, the long-range plan, we can ensure that each team is aligning to the vision of the company and objectives of the business. I love it. The business is this really incredibly big puzzle with finite resources. And we all share and play nice and fit within these parameters. And if we do this effectively, that's when we bring a ton of value. The three steps in becoming a business partner is a good example of continuous improvement. Our CEO Hunter urges us to be better, never best. Given our objectives are continually evolving, and our environment is constantly changing, and the need to drive efficiencies is crucial, it is crucial that we build a culture of continuous improvement. That's the one way we can combat the external pressures. As leaders, it's incumbent on us to instill this mindset within our teams. Using the crawl, walk, run approach, we can break down massive problems into smaller, achievable milestones. Remember, and as we achieve those little tiny milestones, it's really important to celebrate those. In fact, every single Monday when we start our day with our team, that's exactly what we talk about. What did we do last week that kept the progress going? And it helps us understand, hey, these little tiny wins, we're going to continue to go through them and achieve more and more. I see the power of evolution every day. Last month, we were finalizing a cash forecast. It took roughly 4 hours to start getting some insights. It used to take us days. That progress happened because we identified inefficiencies, we streamlined the process, automated the data, removed pain points. We made those little milestones. We ensured we had quick wins along the way. That's the kind of evolution that gets me out of bed, baby. Well, actually, it's my 4-year-old, but that's okay. There are a million problems in our organization, and there are a million ways to solve them. And that's why we need to be flexible. Remember, we're striving to be master collaborators. All functions have different objectives and goals. It means that we should adapt to them, not the other way around. I encourage my team to build quick, break fast, learn, and fix fast. We need to create the safe environment for our teams to learn and figure out these challenges. They need to ensure that they feel safe to make mistakes. The evolution never stops. You should always question the status quo. I don't actually think that's true. Technological advances, economic conditions, competitive forces, they're always going to force us to change. For us to be successful, we need to challenge the status quo rather than react to change. We need to strive to be better, better, never best. Since I've joined Venna, we've seen significant growth. I've lived this, witnessed the evolution. And when you're in your day-to-day, it's sometimes hard to see these little incremental wins add up to something really transformative. It's easy to see those really big signposts. Hey, we achieved 10 million, 50 million, 200 million of revenue. But that's why it's on us to celebrate those little moments as we continue to pass those signposts. Those small wins, I like to reflect a year ago. How did things look? And I'm always pretty happy. I'm always, wow, we have evolved. We have learned. It's incredible. And let's take one moment to celebrate here and give yourselves a pat on the back because we're all here together. We're trying to learn from others. How do people do things? That means we're on that continuous improvement journey too. So give yourselves a pat on the back. I started today saying how I thought people were the most critical piece in the fundamentals. And I'm always going to believe that. But I don't want to minimize the role of technology, what role technology plays in this evolution. As we evolve, we need to be part of the discussion on how the organization uses technology. One of the biggest strengths is understanding data and creating stories with that data. That also means we understand how something should be wired and we ensure that the data doesn't mislead us. Furthermore, as we automate more, we need to ensure controls and processes are put in place to optimize that data alongside our business partners, which makes collaboration and getting a seat at the table even more critical. AI will transform our ability to deliver value by getting information, ideas, and solutions to us quicker. It's going to make us be better business partners. It's going to help us and our partners be even more proactive. But for AI to work correctly, we need to have all the fundamentals in place and working effectively. Avoid getting into this garbage in, garbage out situation. AI learns from us and uses the data we provide it and the rules we teach it. To be successful, We need to continue living the evolution. There's a lot we can continue to do on a daily basis to make sure we're successful tomorrow. Are processes built optimally? Do we have controls in place to ensure things don't break or things fall through the cracks? Is technology wired properly? Is it integrated or automated? Can we trust that the data is correct and accurate? For the process and technology to augment the people, we need to feel empowered to keep learning and keep up with technological advances. AI will ensure that we're always going to get a seat at the table and continually improve. For me, AI is so motivating. Our overall objective won't change. We're always going to need to create value. Technology or AI is always pushing us to be better than we were yesterday. Thank you so much. Have a fun time at Accelerate. I look forward to meeting all of you.
A big thank you to everyone who attended Accelerate Finance 2024 and to those who participated in the live episodes of the CFO show. And of course, thank you for tuning in. Please take a moment to rate and subscribe to the show. It helps others to find us. For the CFO show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.